Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To join us, 603-283-6160, if you want to do that. Again, that's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight is Aria.
Nikki.
And it's Bonnie.
And forgive me if we have any weird miscellaneous issues. There was a reformat done on the main studio computer here. It's been crashing, and that forced us, of course, to update to Windows 11. And I hate Windows 11 so much. Look, I can't blame him. I don't understand what Microsoft's problem is, right? Like this, it seems like they're just hell-bent on every other operating system. They just have to make it absolutely terrible, right? Like Windows XP was great. Rock-solid operating system. Windows Vista came out. Windows Vista, to be fair, after the first service pack, which is like the first major patch, so to speak, it was actually, I think Vista only got the one service pack. I don't remember now. That was, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
Was that like an update?
Yes. And after that, it was great. Vista's issue really was that it released on hardware at the time that wasn't good enough to support it. Like, it required Windows 7 levels of hardware, like 3 gigabytes of RAM, dual-core CPUs, and that kind of stuff. But when it first released, people were putting it on, like, 512 megabytes of RAM with single-core weak processors.
Yeah, so it's just not going to work out.
Yeah, they were putting it on inferior hardware that, yeah, I mean, if you put Windows XP on that, it would be fine. But if you put Windows 7 on that, it's also going to run like crap. And Vista got blamed for that. I mean, Vista also had its own problems, don't get me wrong. It really did. But once that first service pack came out, it really cleaned up, and it was probably my favorite operating system that I've ever used. Then, of course, there was Windows 8, and I don't know if either of you ever used Windows 8.
I have never used Windows, period. Only, like,
really?
At work.
Wow.
I've always...
Like, when I was a little kid, I wasn't like, what operating system is this? I was just like, how to get to Neopets.
I don't know. I guess my family computer, like, when I was a little kid, had Windows, but I always had either, like, MacBooks, and then I started using Linux.
See, I had to know what operating system we were using because I wanted to install this program or that game or use this sound card or whatever, which you got to know what operating system you're running. So that's why I knew, I guess. But Windows 8 was the one where they got rid of the start button. And they were
No, I remember this.
That was terrible, right? But
and there's like this big thing that basically like wants you to go buy apps.
Yes.
I hate that too. That's 8.
That was 8, where they introduced that. However, some enterprising individuals were like, hey, this sucks, and we're going to make it better. So they made this thing called Classic Shell, which I skipped over Windows 7, didn't I? I did. Windows 7 was great. Everyone loved Windows 7. Moving on. Windows 8 sucked. But these people made Classic Shell, and it made it function very, very much like Windows 7, and it made it usable. I still preferred to just use Windows 7, because, like, why update to Windows 8? And then install this thing to make it like Windows 7?
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
When you could just continue using Windows 7.
But doesn't it cause the issues that we're, like, having wrecking issues on this computer to, like, keep an old one on? Isn't that why Ian had to make it Windows 11 or whatever?
We're not entirely sure why it was breaking or why it was blue screening, because it gave us different error messages each time. But that's like a shotgun approach, like a scattershot approach. Like, we're going to completely nuke everything, and that's going to kill the spider in the house. Right? We're going to burn the house down, and that will for sure kill the spider. And that was more or less what was going on here. It's like, why spend, 5 hours a day over the next week diagnosing this weird little software or possibly a hardware issue? If it's hardware, of course, it will carry on. But anyway.
It keeps turning down.
What do you
microphone
mean?
3 from... Like the settings,
really?
Not just like
that's like weird.
From the board, but
right.
From the settings by itself.
Oh, maybe it's a ghost.
That's odd.
I was like, Ian, you need to tell whoever's doing this to freaking stop because it's messing up. And he was
Wait, like, do you think no one would do that?
No, I thought that it was one of the first chair people doing something.
Yeah, like, I don't like the third chair host tonight, so I'm just going to, like, slowly turn their mic down.
I don't know that it was, like, convenient for them for some reason, but Ian was like, no, listen, there is no reason somebody would do that.
It's totally
it's
a ghost.
It's just doing it.
Yeah, because to do that, you have to go into the audio settings and find the microphone.
I had no clue how to fix it. Ian had to do it. Because whenever I record my audiobook for Alu's book, Presumed Guilty, I use this microphone 3. And sometimes I can see on the screen, it's just like, why is the...
It's so strange that it would do that.
Little. The little zigzag that appears when I speak is just little. No matter... Because I have a little piece of tape on the board that shows me exactly where I keep my levels on the board.
Yeah, so it's the same every time.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a ghost.
That's strange. Yeah, it must be. That's the only explanation.
So then there was Windows 9 that got skipped over for some reason. And then there was Windows 10, which is the one that most people are familiar with. It's the darker one, and it works really well. And I've liked Windows 10. I've enjoyed it. It's not the best I've ever used because it's if you need to do admin stuff, it makes it a little bit difficult for you to do that. Like, on Windows 7, I think, if you right-click the Start button and you went to Settings, it took you to your control panel. But on Windows 10, it takes you to this sort of user-friendly kind of settings thing where you can change some stuff, but you can't really get in there under the hood and change the things that someone like me would need to actually change unless you
Does it have the Start thing?
It does, but it's modified, but it's all usable.
So what did they what did they do with the Start thing? Like, what did they replace it with?
Well, with Windows 11, they replaced it with, I don't know what they call it, but it's very similar to Windows 8, where you just have, like, this grid of icons in the center of your screen, and you click one of those to launch whatever tool you're looking for. But, like, more often than not, when I'm sitting down at my computer, I don't need to launch a program. I just need the I need a file explorer, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Or
and it doesn't have one for file explorer?
I don't know. I assume it's probably got an icon for file explorer.
I remember my sister in, like, high school got a laptop, and it had all that. And it was the first time I had ever seen it, and neither one of us really liked it, but we also aren't computing.
So that's kind of how, like, Mac...
That's exactly it, from what I can tell of Windows 11, they're doing everything they can to make it more similar to Mac.
But
which is
I don't know why they would do that, though, because people who run Windows like Windows. Like, if they wanted an Apple computer, they would buy an Apple computer. And let me tell you, Apple computers suck. So that's why
I'm not a fan, but, you know, plenty of people are.
I mean, I love how they run. But what was my issue was they're very, very expensive, and they break. Right. So the hardware itself is the issue. I love the operating system. I actually took my Linux, and I essentially turned it. I made it look exactly like an Apple computer.
Yeah, because you can do that with Linux. That's one of the few things
nice
I like about it.
Because I basically wanted a MacBook, but they're too expensive, and they keep breaking. So I created my own MacBook with Linux.
I definitely think that Mac, and I've only ever used it in schools, was, like, the prettiest. Like, everything looks so nice on it. But I just think since, like, elementary school, I was, like, trained on computers that were Windows. And also, like, my family computer was always Windows. I think that I just have that preference because it's, like, more intuitive for me. But if you got trained on a different one, then...
Maybe that's why I always kind of liked Mac, because that's what we had in school.
You had Macs at your school? Where did you go?
I had Macs in my school starting in, like, middle school, but maybe more like my last year of middle school. But before that, elementary school was always Windows. And so that's what I got, like, trained on.
I'm dating myself a little bit here, but we didn't have the computers until, like, junior high, maybe. There wasn't even a single computer in every classroom.
What year did you graduate? I
dropped out.
Well,
but yeah, I wouldn't ask for that anyway.
Okay.
By the time I graduated, there were computers in every classroom. At least one in every classroom.
So when I started...
But no Macs.
When I started school, because I started in third grade, that had to have been 2006 or 2005. And there was computers in there. They were always Windows. We got taught how to use, like, Paint, PowerPoint.
I also grew up on Windows, though, and I've had a few clients who, like, preferred Mac, and they use Macs. Like, the Tate County Democrat was one of my clients, and they all ran Mac. Everything in their office was Mac, except the printers, which worked well with Macs. I don't remember what the printers were, but I hated that client. And they were all nice. They were all super friendly. And I would tell them, I'm like, look, I'm not an Apple person. I can make it do what you need it to do, but like, I'm not the one you want for this. And ultimately, I got that through their heads because I was doing a terrible job. Because like, this is not what I do. I don't mess with Mac. And we, here and there, we had clients over the next, you know, few years who would, we have this one employee who prefers Mac and they use Mac, so you'd have to figure out how to make the Mac work with all the Windows computers, and it's just a nightmare. And sitting down at one of these things to try to make it do what I want it to do, it's like, if you hand me your iPhone right now and you unlock it, it's like, hey, here, find out all of my secrets. And I would not even know where to begin in trying to make it do what I wanted it to do.
There's a lady, an older lady from Massachusetts, and she's really nice, who comes to our crypto meetups needing help a lot, and she only has MacBooks, and all of the computer wizards in the room are like, try clicking on this. And they're just looking for the most basic thing, like settings. And so I don't know how to help them because I only have an iPhone and it's different.
Yeah. It's so funny because to me it's so intuitive because I've always used them. And the reason why I was locked into Mac and Apple products for so long is because they're all compatible, right?
Right.
So it's like, okay, if I want to, and that's why I avoided replacing my laptop for so long because I really wanted another computer, but it was so easy to just AirDrop things. And like, my life was so much simpler when I had all Apple products. But it's just...
Why doesn't Windows have a phone kind?
Well, they did.
They still do, right?
I don't know.
I thought they still did.
It wasn't very popular and successful. It was like the BlackBerry, really. It's like it had its day, but I'm not sure the Windows phone was ever as popular as BlackBerry.
What was it called? Just Windows phone?
That was the operating system. Windows Mobile, I think, was what they called it. But it was not popular. And that was why they produced Windows 8. They wanted a single operating system that would work on Xbox, Windows Phone, and computers. And, like, those are three very different devices used for very different things. It's stupid to try to have one operating system running all of them. So eventually they realized, gosh, that was really stupid of us, wasn't it? But it looks like this Windows 11 thing sort of is trying to be more like it was when Windows 8 and everyone hated it. Now, what frustrated me is that my laptop recently automatically updated to Windows 11. Now, this is frustrating to me for a number of reasons, but one of which is that the laptop is it's inconvenient to me because it's currently in my music studio. It's inconvenient to me to have to reboot this laptop. It's so much easier to just leave it on all the time and let it go to sleep as needed. But when this update happened, it rebooted, and you know, then it has to reboot several times, and it's encrypted, so every single time I have to enter this gargantuan 68-character password, and it makes me want to put my fist through it. And then, of course, it updated to Windows 11. And I had gone through repeatedly and turned off Windows updates. Now, this is not something you, average person out there, probably needs to do, but as a tech person who's like doing a bunch of stuff, it can be very important to turn off Windows Update because I've done IT work before and I can tell you it breaks things fairly often. Antivirus updates and Microsoft Windows updates,
they
break stuff all the time. And so I wanted to disable it. So I went into services like we used to do and just disabled it. Everything was fine. But no, it undisabled itself.
That is terrible.
It is. And I got to think, it's got to be some kind of violation, right?
It has to be. Like, I love how that's just our answer tonight. We're like, it has to be a ghost. That's the only explanation.
That's crazy that it can undisable itself. That just sounds like a ghost.
It is because, like, with Windows, one of the more important, it's not Linux, right? There is an end-user license agreement, and you are sort of, you're not really restricted in what you can and can't do to it, because Windows is very open in that regard, but it feels un-Windows to me that that updates would re-enable themselves.
Wait, so yours is a Linux running something that looks like Windows?
No.
Because that's what mine is.
Right, you're probably running Windows Mint, I would guess. I had a laptop that was running not Windows Mint, Linux Mint.
Oh, okay.
So I had a laptop that was running Mint.
It's not Mint. I don't know. I can't remember. Kubuntu? No, I think that if it's...
No one looks like Windows?
If it's a Kubuntu, it's like one of those with a qualifier. I don't remember what it's called.
So, yeah, I'm not running any Linux at the moment. But anyway, I disabled Windows updates. It re-enabled itself. So I looked online. I was like, well, what can I do? So here's a registry hack. You can do that. I was like, all right, I did that. Well, that wiped itself out, too. So finally they were like, okay, well, go in and tell it to go deep into the back end and be like, you load in with this login and this password and make sure the password and login don't work. That way it can't actually run that particular service. Well, it undid that too. And eventually it updated and installed Windows 11. And now I hate my laptop. But there's good news, right? Like, I asked my attorney a few weeks ago because we had been kicking this back and forth with the prosecutors. For those who don't know, somehow, like in March of 2021, I was arrested along with five others and charged with operating an unlicensed money transmitting business. I didn't take a plea deal, and they ultimately brought more charges against me. Ian went to trial. I ended up taking a plea deal and pled guilty to operating an unlicensed money transmitting business and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, they have a bunch of my stuff from when they raided me. Among those things is my studio PC and an external hard drive that had all of my stuff from Bad Movie Club, which is where some friends and I recorded ourselves watching really bad movies like Ice Spiders and Shark Assault, Women's Prison Massacre.
Like, what is that show called? Mystery Science Theater or something like that?
I don't know because I've never seen that.
Oh, it's great.
But movies like Thanksgiving and Killer Raccoons 2, Dark Christmas in the Dark. Really bad, stupid movies, right? But they were so much fun to watch. So we recorded ourselves and we would make videos of them and we'd put them on the internet, whatever. And it was my studio PC, so it had all my music on it as well. And my attorney and I have been fighting for about a year now to get those things back because they're completely useless to this case. They've never touched cryptocurrency. They were never used for cryptocurrency. It literally just sat there in my studio being used to record songs, record videos, edit songs, and all of that stuff. Well, I'm finally getting that stuff back.
Oh, good.
So I won't have to use this horrible Windows 11 laptop. I say it's a horrible. It's like a $900 laptop, right? It's a good laptop. But now it's running Windows 11, and that makes it garbage.
Is 11 the most recent?
It is.
That's crazy that you can't backdate. Like, you can't go back to...
I probably can, but that requires... that requires reformatting the hard drive,
yeah,
which is going to have me lose all of my settings and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, that's tedious in and of itself. And I can skip all of that. And then it's just going to do it again, right? Like, how do I make it not do this? Like, with Linux, it's my device.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell it to update, then it will update. And if I tell it not to update, it won't update. And that's always been the case with Windows as well. And I know Microsoft's not Linux, right? Windows is not Linux, and they're not going to recognize my wishes in regard to this, but one of the reasons I've always made arguments for Windows is that even though they have these user license agreements and all this crap that, you know, gives them the right to go in and turn updates back on, they've always respected the PC owner's right to control their PC. But this automatic updating crap, this forced updating crap, it goes very much against that.
Even iPhone doesn't do that. My phone was starting to suck and get really slow, so I just was finally like, oh, let it update, because I didn't want it to update to the update, I forget which number it was, and it was several updates behind, that was going to search my phone for child porn. Yeah,
I remember that, where it would automatically upload your pictures to the cloud, and it would search them for child pornography.
Yeah. Like alert the cops. It's not like
it sounds like a good idea. Look, well,
they always make it sound like that. They're like, oh, no, it's just to save the children.
It makes it sound weird that one would not want them to do that, as if, like, I don't want them to find the child porn on my phone.
I don't
want them
data mining my pictures. That's all there is to it.
I don't want them to be able to use any excuse to alert the cops to my phone. It could be a picture of, okay, I searched dog. This is going to make people who are mean to me laugh. I searched dog in my phone pictures the other day because I was looking for a specific picture of coconut. And, like, half of the pictures were pictures of me. Just my face. So it's like this, whatever.
I was wondering where you were going with this when you said the haters would like it. So
yeah.
Like,
all of the the algorithm that it's going to use to be looking for child porn is going to be like, this is child porn. That's a dog. It's me.
It's like that. Yeah, you're like, that's just me.
Like, oh my god. Lots of funny things pop up.
So it's like the Facebook algorithm, I guess, where it's like, it tries, but it's got a lot of false positives, and then some human goes through and does the final check. And
yeah, sometimes they'll just make its own category and be like, you might want to see this album we made of birds. And it'll be like my old dog Schnitzel, who's a poodle.
Well, A for effort, I guess. They tried, right? Well, in other news today, speaking of dogs, now this is something that I've had it in my show prep for quite a while, and there was just not much room. I mean, it's not like newsworthy, it's not really show worthy, but we're almost done with this segment. And the story is incredibly fascinating. Colorado driver tried to avoid a DUI by switching seats with his dog.
He definitely wasn't drunk.
No, he had to have been hammered, right?
Did it work?
But the dog was driving.
A speeding driver was pulled over in Colorado, and he tried to switch seats with his dog to evade arrest. An officer approached the car and watched the bizarre scene unfold. The man was initially stopped for speeding at 52 in a 30-mile-per-hour zone. He was also intoxicated. The driver then attempted to switch places with his dog. As the SPD officer approached and watched the entire process, the man also claimed he was not driving.
Wait, the officer watched him switch places with his dog, too?
Yes.
So it's not even like the officer hadn't gotten to the window yet?
Is it at least a service dog?
It doesn't say what type of dog it is. But yes, the officer,
I hope it's like a chihuahua.
Watched this entire thing happen.
They couldn't even reach.
Officer, this is my service dog. It drives for me.
The man also claimed that he was not driving the vehicle and then attempted to run away when he was asked about his alcohol consumption. Obviously, he didn't make it very far.
Oh, God. Let's drive away.
Police said the man, who has not been named, was arrested within 20 yards of the car and charged with driving under the influence, resisting arrest, and speeding. He was taken to the hospital before being sent to jail. It doesn't say why he was sent to the hospital first.
Depending on what he blew. Then
really?
They might have to. Yeah, if he was that intoxicated that he thought they would fall for the dog driving, he might have to go to the hospital.
Well, we spent some time during one of the rallies at Central Square that we did, the nightcaps. That's what I was looking for. We did some cop blocking one night where these college kids forgot to turn on their headlights as they were driving back to their house.
Which
or whatever.
Which is easy to do when there's a bunch of street lamps.
It is. Keene is very well lit.
Yeah.
I've done it everywhere I've lived, not being drunk, just being like, it's dark. Oh, God. And then I realized and totally sober. Like, I do it all the time.
Well, these guys were definitely drunk.
I mean, you don't have to be drunk.
And one of them was so drunk that he was like, he was vomiting out of the passenger seat into the street, right? Like, he was drunk. Like,
not even trying to hide it.
Well, I mean, he was the passenger, so I guess he didn't really have to,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess so.
The driver also got arrested. I think the passenger also got arrested, but maybe that was just for his own benefit. Anyway, this dude was, like, vomiting out in the street, and I was like, you need to get this guy some water before he dies, right? This is what I was telling the cops. And they're like, well, if he wants water, he'll ask for it. I was like, oh, okay. Like, George Floyd asked for air, I guess. Is that the game we're going to play here? Like, this dude's literally drunk and vomiting in the street, man. Get him a bottle of water. He's like, we'll get him some water back at the police station. Dude, he might be dead by then.
Maybe that cop has ODD, oppositional defiance disorder. You just told him to, so he didn't want to.
But he's watching this human being vomit in the street.
No one ever said cops had sympathy, empathy.
Well, they should have to have empathy to be cops. Obviously,
no, they have to have a low IQ.
As for the dog, though, police did not name either. The animal was given to the driver's acquaintance to take care of while his owner serves his time in jail. The dog does not face any charges and was let go with just a warning. So at least they have a sense of humor if they don't have empathy. There's more coming up here. 603-283-616.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. A three-judge panel seems hesitant about keeping the abortion drug mifepristone available for sale. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals panel will decide whether the drug should remain available after a federal judge in Texas ordered a hold on mifepristone back in April. President Biden is expressing confidence that a deal to raise the debt ceiling can be reached before the U.S. defaults. Congressman Bob Good agrees,
as long as there are deep budget cuts.
The American people, though, don't want an increase without responsible cuts in spending and reforms to put us on a path to fiscal responsibility.
Good, who's a member of the House Freedom Caucus, would also like to see work requirements for some people who receive federal aid. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona has confirmed that the pandemic-era pause on federal student loan payments will come to an end later this year. That pause has been in place for more than 3 years. Roughly 44 million people will have to restart making payments. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Live, and you are invited to join us, 603-283-6160, if you want to do that. And 603-283-6160, with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki,
and it's Bonnie.
And coming up, is the war in Ukraine possibly coming to an end? I don't know, but Putin and Zelensky apparently have agreed to a summit where they will begin to talk about some sort of plan.
Have they ever been at a summit together?
I'm sure.
Probably, just not since the war started.
That's what I meant, since the war started. Because yeah. I was like looking into like, have they ever done peace talks, because this guy on Twitter was arguing with me about it.
No, they both always have refused to. Zelensky in particular has said repeatedly that he would not.
But I got fact-checked corrected on it, and I believe the same thing, but their aides have gone and had peace talks together. They've just gone nowhere. And Zelensky has multiple times said, like, there will be no peace talks. So he's trying to say, like, there will be no more, which seems weird. So it did confuse me when I was, like, looking this up. Apparently there have been peace talks, but only, only with their aides there, and they went nowhere. No agreements have been made.
Well, I would expect them to go nowhere because Zelensky doesn't want peace and neither does Putin. But they are agreeing now to a summit. Now, the summit hasn't happened yet, and it's as far as I know, they haven't actually even planned a date. But they have agreed to a summit to discuss a plan to ultimately end the war in Ukraine, and that would be good. I'm not going to get my hopes up, though, because they do like war. Zelensky and Putin and the United States government and the European powers. It would be good for, you know, the world, for these people to stop fighting one another, but I don't think they're going to. It would be better for people if Putin and Zelensky would just get into a boxing ring and just beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah,
but they're not going
honestly,
to do that.
I mean, if they're going to fight, if they're going to be violent, they might as well just, you know, settle it the old-fashioned way. That's how they did it in ancient times, right? Just, you know, I challenge you to a duel.
I feel like just looking at them, it wouldn't even be fair.
No, Putin would beat the crap out of
Zelensky. I would love to see that.
I would, too. It would be great. I mean, as long as they both did it consensually, right? And they voluntarily agreed to do this. Yeah, I would love to watch like, Putin beat the crap out of Zelensky. I mean, it's not that I'm pulling for Putin or anything like that, but I'm realistic.
It would just
and I
be
know
funny.
That Putin, yeah.
Zelensky's really short. He only has, like, makeup muscles.
What are makeup muscles?
Like, it's girls decorate themselves with makeup and painting their nails. Boys decorate themselves with muscles, but they're not actually strong. They're just building muscle, don't actually know how to use them type of thing.
Yeah, like steroids.
Yeah.
Also coming up, it is Wednesday, so was Jesus black? I have a story about that. A stained glass window shows Jesus Christ with dark skin, stirring questions about race in New England.
This is old news, though, right?
In
like
New England.
He was from he was Middle Eastern.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's in the news now. So I mean, like, it's being discussed again. But
yeah.
Wait, so
it depends on who you ask, right? Like,
but that's the thing. Like, all of, like, the American Christians, for the most part, are like, well, you look at the pictures on their wall. You know, like, look at the wall art. He's white.
Americans are convinced that Jesus was a white American-looking dude. Like, they are fully convinced of that.
Well, that just doesn't make sense, though.
I don't even want to get into it, but did you say that it was found in New England? Because that makes it a lot weirder.
In Rhode Island? I'm not sure exactly where
it was
found.
What, you didn't know Jesus was from Rhode Island?
No, it's just like the people who came here originally and they were like worshiping Jesus, their Jesus was black, because that'd be kind of interesting.
It was Rhode Island.
Weird.
Where this was found. So that's coming up.
And why is it like found? Like, was it buried underground in Rhode Island?
I was just teasing the story, man.
We have a lot of questions.
And we'll get into that. But first, we do have Ricky on the line from Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Sister Aria, Sister Bonnie, Sister Nikki. Good evening.
And what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm going to try to rip through this as quick as possible. And bear with me. I'll make it quick as I can. Now, one thing I mentioned before I even start is when it came to Windows 10 for PC or Windows 10 for phone, both of them were from the very first line of code. They were brand new. That's one point. Now, here's how this goes. For a year and a half before Build 10240, which came out July 23rd of 2015, I worked as a Windows insider for free, yes, but I was a beta tester. And what I did was I helped coders to clean code. What that means is you lay down code, you put in a button or a feature. Well, that works, but then if you lay down more code, it breaks it. So I would utilize workarounds, knowing knowledge of the operating system and things like that to get back in and then report based on the build. Now, one thing about Windows 10 that was unique, whether it be the phone version or the PC version, at the code base level, they were identical. Now, there is things specific to the PC that you wouldn't have on the phone, but they were identical. So when I was doing things like this and they were fixing stuff, they would fix the same exact feature after that on the PC. So let's move on. Now, a neat little trick, that being said, is something that no other operating system could ever do. So one thing they did after the phone release of 10, which was in November of 15, it was going into 16. They had like a new Tomb Raider game was one of them. And you bought, say, the PC version, they give you the mobile version for free, and you could use it on the Surface or the phone. Now, say, example, you're playing your game, right? And, okay, oh, you know what? I got to go to work. You just stop. Now, you grab your phone or you grab your Surface. You go to work, and now it's a completely different device. And you go to work, bang. You start right up where you finished. I mean, where you stopped.
I mean, I understand the goal there, but I'm not sure it was ever actually practical, was it? Like, I don't think you could actually run Tomb Raider 2016
well, you know
on a mobile device.
Windows 10 could do a lot of tricks and a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but it's not the operating system that's the problem. It's that the phone simply doesn't have the graphical capability to run a modern game like Tomb Raider 2016.
Yeah, but see, here's one thing I will tell you.
I just come over that. That's like an enormous flaw.
Yeah, like, why would you even want to, right?
That's also true.
Well, see, here's the thing. Can I make a point? The interesting thing is what made now the Windows 10 for phone and Windows PC were basically the same thing. What killed Windows Phone? I'll tell you what. It actually died right after the anniversary update because they went in unison. That was July of 17. And it's what they called all about the apps. And here's how that worked. You see, it's funny because they were already talking then. Oh, Google had all these apps and all these things. Because they were already starting then mirroring the website on a browser with an app. Now, if you look at it now, with very few exceptions, they're identical. You know, so like
yeah, the mobile browser, like me, the mobile version of websites is drastically different from the PC version.
No, I'm talking about, say, for a phone. Like if you got Android.
The mobile version,
that's what you said.
Say Android or like a browser version, they're going to be identical.
What do you mean Android or a browser version? Exceptions. Android's an operating system. Browser's a type of software that runs.
I know, but say, for example, you use YouTube or you use Netflix or a lot of other things.
Uh-huh.
YouTube is not identical on the mobile to the website. It's not.
No, it's not at all.
You don't think so?
No, I know so.
I mean, even like my website, like the website that I built personally, like I specifically made the mobile version different. Like it doesn't matter what you're running it on. It's going to be different if it's the mobile version because that's how I built it and because it's just... It just doesn't make sense for it to even be the same because when you're running my website on a desktop and when you're running it on your phone, like it's just so... Just the formatting is just so different.
And that's why
it wouldn't even make sense.
You can go in and change something to browser mode. That wouldn't happen. That wouldn't exist if they were identical. If you're looking at something on your phone, it's like, oh, this doesn't fit right. You can go into your settings and be like, go to browser mode, see if it fixes it.
Yeah, the most WordPress is running on something like, well, hold on. WordPress is running on something like 25% of all websites are powered by WordPress. Maybe it's 20%. It's some large percentage. And WordPress has probably come the closest between making a browser, a desktop site look and function the same way as a mobile site. But even it is drastically different. I mean, these are two very different platforms that behave in very different ways, and the look and feel of them is very different.
That's why I had the experience you're talking about, because when I ran Windows 10 phone, it was just like running Windows 10 PC, just scaled a little bit here and there. But you know what? One point I wanted to make, and I'm going to actually buy one coming in the next month, and here's the reason why.
Because you're going to buy
I'm going to buy a Lumia 950 XL, and I'll tell you why.
What is that?
Because I talked. What's that? That was the first phone to run an octa-core back November of 15. And I'll tell you why I'm buying it. Everything will work. There's very few things that are going to make a bit of a difference in actual life. I don't have to worry about playing games. I'm blind. But here's what I do want. Windows 10 phone use a very elaborate system for navigating web pages for blind people. Now, the problem with Android, and I've talked to Samsung at length about this because I got up to date on what the S23 can do. It doesn't have any of that. You know, so basically, all you got is the touchback crap with Samsung. That's useless. And, you know.
Well, this is a browser thing, right? Like, Microsoft Edge is.
This was actually, it didn't use Cortana, it used the internal voice within Windows 10, either Sam or the chick voice. And it was a very elaborate system where you can navigate web pages and you can go right and left. And by doing that, you can say paragraphs, lines, links, whatever, right, and jump around with that.
I mean, that's awesome. I had heard here and there that Windows tends to be more accessible than other operating systems, but that's never been, like, one of the primary features for me, so I haven't looked into that very closely.
Why does Android not have this? I'll tell you why. And I talked to Samsung, and I remember Pekla said, I can't use the word he did, but he says, you know what, Google is screwing blind people. Well, here's the reality. It's a limitation of Android. You know, Microsoft wouldn't care. They're old friends, them and Samsung. They took it and put it in there. But the problem is they can't use this system within Android using the internal voice. It just, they can't do it. It's impossible to happen.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Ricky. And as I said, I've heard that Windows is better for, you know, disabled people and accessibility and all of that, and that's great, and I'm glad there's software out there that's doing that. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily have to detract from the Android experience to be like that, but I do want all of that crap disabled. And I say it's crap because I'm thinking of, like, voice activation and, you know, fingerprint Siri. Unlocks and Siri. And
stuff that you wouldn't need.
Right. Things that are always listening, always on. I get that there's a purpose for those, for people like, you know, Ricky, who are blind and who can't access their phone. And I've watched Riley, who does the digest for us here on Free Talk Live. He's blind.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched him use his phone. And
it's really cool, actually.
Yeah, he sort of taps it on the screen. I have no idea.
And he does it so fast. He's like tapping so fast, he knows what he's doing.
I don't know how it works.
I don't even know what he's doing.
Yeah, but he's doing something. It's cool.
But
it talks to him really quickly because he's just that fast on it.
Yeah.
And so he's just like waiting for it to say something. He taps again. So, I don't know.
I'm glad these tools exist. I've never used them, so I mean, I can't really have a conversation about them. But I am glad they exist. So thank you so much for the call tonight, Ricky. And, you know, if you want to buy your 2015 phone, I think that's what he said he was going to get, then more power to you, man. I don't want an 8-year-old phone in today's world. I don't want an 8-year-old computer in today's world. I don't want an 8-year-old anything if I can help it.
It'd be different if you're blind, though, because, like, the main reason I wouldn't want an 8-year-old phone would be because the camera would suck so bad.
That's
really
true.
A lot of people don't care about that.
Like, the camera on this phone is so good that it shocked me when I first got it. Like, I would take a picture of it, holy crap, that's a good picture.
When I first switched from Galaxies to iPhone, I was seriously in, like, a whole new world for, like, 2 weeks. Just like, I'm going to take a picture again. Oh, my God, it looks like me. It doesn't look like this weird phone version of me that I've always been like, why do I look so weird in pictures? No, oh, my God, I love iPhone's camera so much more. The Google Pixel is also crazy good. Like, it looks like real life to me.
So, speaking of real life, people are a little bit confused about what Jesus may or may not have been like in actual real life. And obviously, like, this has been known since, like, Plato. Was it Plato? I don't remember. Some Greek philosopher pointed out that it wasn't a coincidence that the Greeks worshipped white gods and that the Persians worshipped gods that looked Persian. And that black people worship gods that look black, and Indians worship gods that look like Indians, right? That's not a coincidence. And it's continued on into today, where if you ask any white Christian in the United States what Jesus will look like, they'll tell you he was a white man.
Well, I mean, it's the same reason why they're gods. I mean, even the fact that they just resemble a human being, you know, never mind the race.
I'm reading a book about exactly that topic, and, you know, the modern Christian idea is that Yahweh doesn't have a real physical body, right? He's just this sort of disembodied power.
I mean, that would make sense, right?
But it's wrong, right? Like, if you go to one of these museums or if you study any other religion in human history, you're going to see statues of God, statues of, you know, Brahma or Vishnu or whatever Native American gods you can find, or Greek gods. Humans, when they were worshiping Zeus, they made statues to Zeus. But if you look around in Christianity, there's none of these for Yahweh. And that's weird.
Isn't it because he specifically told them not to?
No. As it turns out, I don't remember the exact reason why, because I've, like, 200 pages past that in the book. But it was basically because they wanted to make their god different. I'm not sure exactly why. I'll have to get back to you next week on that, because I don't remember off the top of my head why it is, but it's a very human reason, and it's not backed by anything that's actually in the Bible. In actuality, in the Bible, it describes Yahweh as having a very physical form. It describes his feet and his physical body at length.
Now that I think about it, there is where Moses goes up to the top of some mountain, and that's when he brings down the Ten Commandments, and it says he sees God's face.
Yeah. And at one point, I remember one of the passages about not making images of God. It was when Moses came back down from the mountain, I think the second time, and God was with him. But there was a veil of fire separating Yahweh from all of the Israelites, and only Moses could see him, and they wanted to make that. And Moses told them, well, look, since you didn't even see what God looks like, you can't make statues of him.
Hmm.
And that was one of the main references they made to that. But it describes him as having feet, and this is the reason why you took your shoes off when you entered like churches and stuff back in the days, because God didn't wear shoes, basically. It's all very weird what these concepts humans had back in the day. And I'm not doing any justice here. The book is called God and Anatomy, if someone wants to read it. Because I would highly recommend it if you find these topics fascinating. It's not as fascinating as I thought it would be, but it is still pretty interesting to know how, or to be aware that Christianity, for one reason or another, it went from God having a physical body to being this sort of disembodied head. And that is ultimately what happened. But Jesus, of course, was not a disembodied head, well, for better or worse. Jesus, whether you believe he was a prophet or just a human, or whether you don't even believe he existed, if you read the biblical passages, it never says whether or not Jesus is white or black, because that was just not what people thought about back then, right? Race wasn't the issue then that it is now. They had different things to deal with, like, am I going to die before I'm 25 kind of stuff to deal with.
And it's just interesting because even if we could prove if, you know, Jesus was white or black or whatever, it wouldn't even matter because all of these people are still going to believe whatever they want to believe. You know, you think all these racist, you know, white people are going to, oh, well, we proved that Jesus was black, so now we have to stop being racist. Unlikely.
I watched that Carlos Mencia sketch before I was aware that Carlos Mencia isn't actually Hispanic. Or whatever. I don't remember the specifics now, but he's apparently not actually Hispanic. But anyway, he made a joke and he was about Jesus being Hispanic or Mexican. He was like, there's a reason he's called Jesus. And I'm like, dude, that's so dumb. I can't even begin. But
it was a joke, right?
I don't know.
I hope so.
Does he actually believe that Jesus was Mexican? I don't know. Right? I wouldn't put it. White people have convinced themselves that Jesus was just a white European man.
Yeah, with blue eyes specifically.
Yeah. So,
like, so many Christians, it's not just like, oh, it was painted in cathedrals hundreds of years ago. No. So many Christians today write about, like, I went to heaven, I was taken to heaven in a vision, and I saw Jesus and he has blue eyes. Specifically, like, today, not like hundreds of years ago.
So, what did Jesus look like? We'll probably never know, but this nearly 150-year-old stained glass church window depicts a dark-skinned Jesus Christ interacting with women in New Testament scenes.
Are they dark-skinned? I just have some.
Yes, she is.
Sorry.
She is dark-skinned. Mm-hmm. And this is another thing, because the way the book that I was talking about, God and Anatomy, begins, it talks about parts of the human body and their significance in religion and Christianity in particular. And that's another one of the reasons that Jesus washing Mary Magdalene's feet was, and the feet of prostitutes in general, was such a big deal.
Oh, because, I thought it was just a fetish thing.
Well, it could have been, right? I wouldn't put it past him. You know,
I won't kink shame Jesus.
No, definitely not. But anyway, that was why it was such a horrible thing, right?
I thought she washed her feet. Oh, no.
He washed her feet.
She, like, offered to wash his feet, and he said, no, I'll wash your feet. I don't remember.
I don't remember exactly how it happened, but I do remember that Jesus washed her feet.
I know nothing about the Bible, so this conversation is just so funny to me. I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, so there's this passage in the Bible where Jesus is hanging out with some prostitutes,
mm-hmm.
and he's like,
cool.
Hey, babe, I'm going to wash your feet. And he's like, okay. And he washes her
Absolutely
feet.
Absolutely a fetish thing, so my initial hunch was correct.
Possibly, you know, I'm not saying it's not, but the significance of feet and being pure when entering a holy place is one of the reasons that this upset people so much. But anyway, this is only 150 years old, so it's not like it's a stained glass window from like a 12th century church, which wouldn't give it any more credibility than it would have if it was made 150 years ago, but to some people it would. Anyway, the window was installed at the long-closed St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Warren, Rhode Island, in 1878, and it's the oldest known public example of stained glass on which Christ is depicted as a person of color that one expert has ever seen. So he says, this window is unique and highly unusual. I have never seen this iconography for that time, and I tend to agree, especially in the United States. I would not expect to see a black Jesus on stained glass from something dated to the 19th century. I wouldn't expect to see that in the 20th century.
That's exactly what I was so shocked by. That's why I was like, wait, did you say New England?
Yeah.
It was really
Rhode Island. The 12-foot tall, 5-foot wide window depicts two biblical passages in which women, also painted with dark skin, appear as equals to Jesus Christ. One shows Christ in conversation with Martha and Mary, who were the sisters of Lazarus from the Gospel of Luke. Is Luke the weird one that's sort of different from the other three?
Luke is the one that Jesus is more emotional and sweet.
Okay, thanks. Because I've never...
So I think that it is different because of that.
Yeah, one of them is like a weird side story kind of thing. It's not a side story, but one of them is distinctly different from the other three.
And it is the one where he's more like emotional.
The other shows Christ speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well from the Gospel of John. And I assume she's the one who he told to go back to her first husband?
I don't know
which one that's referring to. I'm not as familiar with the Bible as you would expect.
I'm more familiar with the Old Testament because I was older during quizzing when we were doing Old Testament. I was way younger when we did Matthew and Acts. I barely remember those.
See, I was so young then when my family was like, we're going to do Bible time. And then every single day for like half an hour, we would have to sit around and they would read the Bible and then discuss it. And it was horrible. And they like started at the beginning and just kept going. Like,
oh my gosh,
this devoured my summers. Like while other kids were out there playing t-ball or whatever, we're stuck. And it was only like an hour a day or half an hour each day. But like when you're 7 years old, that's an eternity.
Better stories too.
We always did the same thing, but my mom would like go months forgetting she wanted to do that, and then she'd be like, all right, we're going to institute this Bible study a day thing. But she would always choose like a specific book. I've never in my life read the Bible from the beginning to the end. There's huge swaths of the Old Testament that I've never even looked at.
Well, we didn't
How
make it
How many pages is the Bible?
A lot. I mean, it depends on
like,
the format and the size of the text and all of that. But I mean, it's a lot.
So like War and Peace, like 1,400 pages or longer?
I think it's about 400,000 words, if I remember correctly. Not entirely sure.
Jesus wept.
Yeah. So anyway, we started at Genesis 1:1, and we went all the way to, I want to say we got to like Psalms or something before we skipped to the New Testament. And we didn't get far into the New Testament before life sort of took us all our different directions. And I ended up moving in with my father. So this went on for like 7 years of being exposed to the Bible every single day like this. Very tedious, very exhausting. But I don't remember individual passages and stuff. I remember the gist and some of the themes I remember better than others. But like the story of Jesus and the woman at the well in John, I have no idea which story that's referring to. I would speculate it's the woman to whom he said, your current husband, you mean your first husband, return to him or whatever.
How do you remember that? I want to say it's the woman that touched his robe and had great faith.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.